Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
We are in a series called Got Questions. And these questions are questions you had. And so we're responding to them. And so this is the last one for a few weeks. Then we're going to come back and have a whole other session of other questions that you've submitted that we're going to hit on Got Questions Series 2 later on in the summer. But today's question was, how can I control my anger? And I know no one in this room has anger problems. No one watching online has anger problems. You're too spiritual for that. I mean, you're so lovely in the Lord's eyes that you just, you know, when people slap you across one side of your face, you just say, oh, God bless you with the other side, right? You're that spiritual. But not all of us are as spiritual as you. So we're going to answer the question that someone asked today. You know, I was told a story the other day about a combat aircraft that was being studied. And I know we've got several airmen and former airmen in the room, so maybe you've heard this account before, but several combat aircraft had been out on a mission. They had sustained some combat in the air and returned safely to the carrier where they were stationed. And they took these aircraft that had been in combat and they began to study them. And they noticed that almost all of these airplanes had been shot and damaged in combat in the same areas. They all sustained similar damage. And so some engineers got together and they said, you know, what we need to do is we need to get some extra armor and extra material, and we need to, in these sections of the aircraft that have been sustaining all this damage, we need to shore up this part of the plane. We need to make sure this part of the plane is solid and secure and stronger, because obviously this is where most of the bullets, most of the damage occurs. And they were just about to go forward with that plan when someone stood up and said, actually, you're looking at this completely wrong. What these planes prove is that they can sustain damage in this part and survive. What we've got to do is we've got to shore up the part of the planes that we have that haven't been hit and the areas that haven't been hit, because obviously when they get hit in those areas, they don't make it back safely. Those are actually the places we need to protect. And this morning, as we talk about anger, you may dismiss anger as something small. You may think, well, listen, you don't see a whole lot of people walking around with gaping holes in their life because of anger issues. And that's because a lot of times anger doesn't hit people, doesn't hurt people, it destroys people. A lot of times we major on things that are obvious, and we miss the things that are not so obvious. And I believe that anger kind of falls in that category. There's a lot of people whose lives have been destroyed because of anger. They've lost families. They've lost their job. They've had damage done in their relationships, all because of anger. And here's the damaging part about anger is, often, studies have shown that the way you respond to anger, the way that I respond to anger, most times is a reflection of how those in our lives responded to us in our past. In other words, you respond the same way your parents did or the same way your grandparents do. If there's not some sort of intervention by the Holy Spirit in your life, you begin to just pass on what you received. And for many people, that's not a positive thing. And, you know, this question was high on someone's heart a few months ago. But as we're in the middle of week whatever in this COVID stuff we're in, we've seen that mental health issues such as anger, the hotlines and the mental health area of our hospitals is being taxed very, very highly during this time, because people are, you know, when you're stuck together for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I mean, that even the best of friends can get on each other's nerves, right? I know you wouldn't admit that, but so how do we control was the question, our anger? Well, James chapter 1, verse number 19 gives us this direction. It says, this you know, my beloved brethren, that everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. I want to give you my sermon in a sentence real quickly this morning. It's come straight from Scripture. It's the last part of that Scripture that simply says, the anger of man, would you say that phrase with me, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. In other words, your anger, when you have those moments of outburst, those moments you think, man, I just told that person off. I set them straight. You ever had those moments where you set someone straight? It could be that those moments weren't as effective as you thought they were. Because the anger of man never achieves the righteousness of God. So let's pray together over this text today. Father, we love you, and I'm thankful that you have something better for us than just our best efforts or what we've seen or experienced in our life. Lord, I'm thankful you have a plan for our lives that includes us not seeing what we would produce naturally, but what you can produce supernaturally. We know that our anger never produces your righteousness. It never achieves your best path for our life. But when we submit to your plan, it always brings your blessing and your favor and your righteousness, which is what we desire. So Lord, I pray in the next minutes of time, you'll speak to us, you'll speak through me today. Lord, help me to speak beyond my own ability this morning, the words of God and only the words of God, to help us hear what the Holy Spirit wants us to hear, and we'll give you thanks for it. Everybody in the room said, amen. So let's just get on common ground today. Watching online, in the room today, let's just get on common ground. How many would confess you've had a moment where you struggled with anger? All right? Most of you? All right? The rest of you, at the end of the service, I have an altar call for lying, and that will be your cue to raise your hand at that moment. All right? All of us, you know, I've seen people lose their tempers, lose themselves in anger. I've seen golf clubs broken, right? I've seen people punch holes in sheetrock because of anger. I've seen and heard people say things that can never be taken back in anger. How many know that saying I'm sorry might be the right thing, but it doesn't erase everything? Right? Someone said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Whoever said that apparently had never lived, right? Because words can hurt you. We've seen people hit each other in anger, murder each other in anger. We've seen a lot of people do a lot of things in anger, and many of them, if you ask them, why did you do that? Why did you say that? Why did you act that way? Why did you respond that way? Where does that anger come from? A lot of people will say, I have no idea. A lot of people, when you talk about their outburst, their uncontrollable moment of anger, what they'll tell you is that what I responded to really wasn't that big of a deal. Right? I would have never just punched somebody in the face because they scratched my truck or whatever, but that scratch, that incident, that disagreement was like the last straw that broke the camel's back. And though they weren't really the source of my anger, they had to reap the fruit of my anger. Right? You know what I'm talking about? So first, it might be helpful for us to identify, where does our anger come from? I want to give you a few notes this morning. First off, anger can be the source of genuine concern. You know, how many think that at times we should get angry? This is a good time to raise your hand, right? If you're watching online, just say, yeah, from your couch. There are certain things in this life that should make us angry. And maybe even sitting here the last 5 minutes while I'm talking and thinking, Pastor, I got this done. Nothing rocks me. I'm in full control of my emotions. No one knows when I'm happy. No one knows when I'm sad. I'm just so steady and so stable that nothing affects me. A lot of people think I'm that way. And so if you're like me, let me preach to you first. You may be the most dangerous person listening and watching today. Because sometimes what you call control, a lot of people interpret as indifference. And the opposite of love is not hate. What is it? It's indifference. It's people thinking that they don't care about what it is. And so some of us that are maybe a little bit better or just naturally hide our emotions, it can actually come across as just being don't care when really we should care about things. There are certain things in life that should make you angry. How many of you know Jesus got angry? Right? There was one time when Jesus got visibly anger. He went into the temple one day and saw people abused in the house of God. And he began to literally turn over tables and drive people out of the temple courts, tell them to get out, that this is supposed to be a house of prayer. And the disciples were thinking, man, this guy has lost it. Thankfully, John chapter 2 helps us remember that he is actually supposed to be identified, Jesus would be identified by his zeal for the house of God. You know, part of our knowing that our heart is in alignment with God is that you get angry about the things that God gets angry about. See, I fear sometimes we don't get angry about the things that God gets angry about, and then we get angry about things that God doesn't get angry about. That's a great place for somebody to say amen. Right? You got your mask off today, so the decimals of shouting today should be like off the charts. So anger, you know, if you see someone harm your children, you should get angry. Right? If you see those who can't protect themselves being exploited, as Pastor Dave was talking about this morning, that should make us angry. If you see truth being maligned, that should anger. If you see the gospel or the church being misrepresented, that should anger you. So there's going to be some times in your life where you should and I should get angry. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that in those moments to be angry, but to what? To sin not. So it's possible to be angry and to not sin. Somebody say praise God. Right? It says, and don't let the sun go down on your anger and do not give the devil a foothold. In other words, if I don't control the anger in my life, what I am doing is giving the devil a foothold to cause havoc and destruction in my life. So the anger you've been harboring and bottling up, it's going to come back and bite you. That's the way it works. So I want to challenge you, even when you have the right to be angry, remember that the anger of man cannot achieve the righteousness of God. Here's the second source of anger. Anger can come from a life that is seemingly out of control. I don't know about you, but there's been some moments the last 7 or 8 weeks where I have felt out of control. I mean, some of you sent your kids to school one day, and they left their They left their trapper keeper, or whatever those things, at school. They left their stuff at school. And when they found out that school wasn't going back, they were like, hey, mom, dad, all my books are at school. Well, why didn't you bring it home? Because I thought I was going back. You know, life changed overnight. And sometimes life can seem out of control. You know, I think of Peter. When he was with Jesus the night that Jesus was arrested, you know, they came out to them, and there was, you know, the Pharisees, the priests, the leaders, religious leaders, they had this band of soldiers dispatched with them. So they had, you know, they had clubs and knives and swords, and the 12 disciples of Jesus, they just had two swords among all of them. And here comes Peter. He gets so out of control that in anger he chops off Malchus's ear. Now, he's either a really good shot or a really bad shot, right? He's either really good with a sword or not. But he does this thing. He sees everything is changing. And sometimes when life gets out of control, anger creeps up. You know, if you're invested in the stock market right now, your life may be feeling out of control. If your employer has shut down because of this crisis, you may seem out of control. When a family member gets sick, your life may seem out of control. When life seems out of control, if you're not careful, anger will develop. Some of you've had those moments where you've exploded on someone over an issue that wasn't that significant. And you wonder, someone else wondered, where does that come from? It comes from the fact that you are living a life that seems to be out of control. But I want to remind you, when life seems out of control, remember God is still in control. right? Isaiah chapter 41 says to fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. And let me add my own words. Even when life seems out of control, God is in control. But if you lose sight of the fact that God is in control, anger can start to develop. So when life seems out of control, remember God is in control. Remember, your anger is not going to achieve the righteousness of God. The third source of anger is this. It can be a result of past experiences. In other words, your hurt in the past can cause you to have anger today. Maybe you were in a relationship 20 years ago that was abusive. Maybe in a relationship 20 years ago that was where you were hurt, whether physically or emotionally, and now you're in a new relationship 20 years later, and the person you're married to, the person you're dating, the person you work with, now they say something similar to what happened to you 20 years ago, and now all of a sudden that junk, that feeling of hurt from 20 years ago, it happens like it just happened 2 seconds ago, and now you are fuming with anger, not because of some issue that just happened to you in this moment, but because of a moment that happened 20 years ago. See, the anger you don't let God heal you from will come back and haunt you. That's why I'm glad to know that Psalms 147 says that he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And fourth, this morning, before I get to the solution, remember that anger can come from a result of grief. You know, it's one of the things that causes a lot of anger in a lot of people's life is when they lose something. You can think of Mary when Lazarus died. She said, Jesus, if you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. She's sort of angry at Jesus. And loss has a way of angering you. I don't know about you, but I've been angry over losing money. I've been angry over losing my car keys. I've been angry over losing games. I don't know if this happens at your house, but every once in a while, Megan will hear me slamming cabinet doors, and she'll hear me, you know, making a mess, and I'll hear her say from the other room, she'll say, what's wrong? And I'll say, I can't find, and I'll fill in the blank. And like immediately when I tell her, I can't find my keys, from the other room, I'll hear she'll say, well, I didn't move them. So it lets me know that apparently I get sort of demonstrative when I'm lost something. Doors start getting slammed. Stuff flies a little bit farther than, and she wants me to know that it's not her fault that I am frustrated. But losing things can cause frustration. Can someone say amen? But I've lost bigger things than my keys. We've lost pregnancies. We've lost family members to sickness. We've lost relationships. If you haven't been there, don't be too quick to judge those of us that have, because loss can cause anger. I can take you to spots in the road where I've slammed my Bible against the dash of my truck saying, God, what is going on here? How many would say that sometimes when God works in ways you prayed he would work differently, that you can have anger issues in your life? There's a guy in the Bible whose name is David. He wrote this little book, a collection of books actually, called the Psalms. And you'll discover a lot of those are not birthed out of moments being wonderful in his life, they're birthed out of grief. And when you have moments of loss in your life that cause anger, the only way you're going to defeat them is if you have a greater moment of hope. That's why Revelation reminds us that one day he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Amen? So how do I deal with the anger I have today? I have to remember the joy I'm going to have tomorrow. Amen? And the joy of tomorrow springs up hope and joy of today. But if we just do nothing but relive our losses, friends, we're going to live a life of anger. We're going to get stuck in a cycle of anger. We don't let God heal us. So how can I control? How can I make sure that my anger doesn't get out of control and I allow God to produce his righteousness through my life? I'll give you a few ways real quick. Number one, be quick to hear. You know, someone said a long time ago that God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason, that we should listen twice as much as we speak. And the word says to be quick to hear. As a matter of fact, I've discovered there's been moments in my life where something angered me, and then when I went and got information, I discovered that what had angered me really wasn't really right for me to be angry about in the first place. Once I heard the rest of the story, you know, last month we were studying the book of Joshua, talking about how to develop a courageous heart. And one of the stories we didn't get to was found in Joshua chapter 22. The battles are over. They've conquered the land. And the people of Reuben and the people of Gad, they went back across the river where they were settled. And the first thing they did was they began to build this altar. And word got back to the rest of Israel that hey, your brothers are building an altar across the river. And they just assumed, man, they're turning their back on God. They're setting up this idol. Let's go kill them. Right? It's in the Bible. So they got the armies of Israel. And they just had a party that God had set them free. And they go out towards Reuben's house, and they're thinking, man, we're going to cut these guys off. We're going to cut their heads off. They're upset. And they get there, and they say, Reuben, what's the deal? Gad, what's the deal? I said, well, y'all are on that side of the river, and you have the altar of God. And here we are on this side of the river, and we don't have anything. And we were afraid that someday, when your children's children are in control, and when our children's children are in control, that though we worship the same God, your children may tell our children that we have nothing to do with the promises of God, because if we belong to your God, we'd be on that side of the river. So we made an altar to resemble your altar, not for us to pray to or to bow to or to worship. We built this altar just so you would know that we are serving the same God. There would always be a connection between us. And then the army of Israel said, this is the Greg Sanders version, Oh, so instead of killing each other, their relationship was bound even stronger, because thankfully someone was quick to hear. Here's the second key. Be quick to hear. Number two, be slow to speak. Now, listen, those of you who are like me that grew up in Arkansas, there's a difference between speaking slow and being slow to speak, right? I mean, I go visit Megan's family up in Ohio, and they say I have an accent. I don't know what they're talking about. To me, they're the ones that talk funny, but you know, they say we talk slow. Listen, talking slow is not the same as being slow to speak. You know, we put filters on our water, but we need another filter right here, right? I mean, I asked you earlier how many of you have ever done something in anger. I'm sure if I asked you how many would say that your mouth has gotten you in trouble, we would all say, yeah. If I were to ask you how many did it today, you might say even yeah again. That's why Proverbs chapter 10 says that when the words are many, sin is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Now, I remember when I was youth pastoring, one of our students had worked really hard to invite this girl to church. I mean, not just her and several other girls in our youth group, they just focused on sharing the love of Jesus with this girl over and over and over again. I mean, this is like the process, the fruit of months of showing her love and being kind to her and inviting her. And she finally came to our youth minister on a Wednesday night and really got touched by God that night. She responded to the altar call. It's one of those high points I remember in my mind. That, wow, this is awesome. This girl that has no church affiliation at all has come, and she's found the Lord. And these students, they've seen the fruit of their labor come. And as she was walking back to the parking lot that night to her car, one of our church attenders, not in the youth ministry church approached her and began to, let's say, discourage her. That's the nicest word I could say. And she told her friends, listen, I'm never coming back because of what that person said to me in the parking lot. Now, I'm preaching about anger. And I can just tell you, that was a moment in my life where I was angry. Right? You would be too. And I think I should have been angry. Right? And I think you should have been too if that happened here. So I went to my pastor. I said, Pastor, let me tell you what happened. I said, this is what I want to tell that lady who talked to that girl. And I told him, and how many believe that I had some good things to say? I had some good things to say. Matter of fact, it was so good, he looked at me and said, Greg, that's exactly what you need to say to her. Awesome. And I turned to leave. He said, as soon as you can say it in love instead of anger. Man, can I tell you, it took me 2 weeks to convince myself I could say it to her in love and not anger. And 2 weeks later, guess what? I failed. I still, you're supposed to be angry and sin not. And I didn't pass the test, but you got to be slow to speak, because when you're slow to speak, you got a better chance of saying what needs to be said instead of what you want to say. And by the way, there's a difference between the two. You know, Jesus was our example in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says when he was reviled or attacked, if you want to use that word, he did not return the insult in the same way. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Listen, being slow to speak is actually evidence of our trust in God, because our words never produce the righteousness of God. Let me just get a little bit more in your face today. Your post in anger on Facebook never produced the righteousness of God. Just because you got it off of your chest doesn't mean that you represented the heart of God. Amen? So we got to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and then slow to act in anger. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 says, don't be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger settles in the lap of a fool. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 132 says, he who is slow to anger is better than a warrior. And he who controls his temper is greater than the one who captures a city. So you can get angry in a moment. It doesn't mean you have to act in that moment. One person said, how much more grievous are the consequences of anger than the cause of it? See, we don't make the best decisions when we're angry. And one of the characteristics of God that I'm thankful for is that the Word says that he is slow to anger. How many are glad that God is slow to anger? I mean, you know, sometimes my kids, I know you don't believe this, but sometimes my kids press my button and you're not going to believe this either, but I'll ask them to do something, they don't do it the first time. So I've got this thing. I don't know where I picked it up, but I start counting. I'll say, if you don't do this by the count of three, one, two, and usually by the count of three, they do it. I don't know what's going to happen someday when they don't do it on the count of three. You can counsel me on that part. But I'm trying to figure out, is the count for them or for me to keep me in check? I got 3 seconds to figure out, what am I going to do next? Thankfully, you know, the Bible says the Lord is slow to anger. Listen to this. A lot of times we just stop right there. And he's great in power. So the fact that he's great in power means he can be slow to anger. And when you realize that the power you have working for you, you can be slow to anger as well. God is slow to anger. I know there's times when you may feel like, maybe if you're reading the Word of God, you may think, man, God doesn't look like he's slow to anger in this account or that account. But you have to understand, God is always slow to anger. I know this doesn't happen at your house, but sometimes I'll walk in and Megan will be speaking to the kids in a Somebody help me. In a passionate manner. How about that? She'll be speaking, and I will walk in, and I will say, whoa, 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 what's the deal? I mean, these are my girls. They're my angels. There's nothing that they could have done that would make you speak like this to them. Right? And then she fills me in what happened the 15 hours before. You know, that I've been gone to work and playing golf and in the world, and she's been home. You know, she lets me know what I missed out on. In other words, she's telling me, Greg, I am more long-suffering than you're giving me credit for. You know, God's the same way. Sometimes we see God act in the word, in his word, and we think, man, he sure wasn't very long-suffering in those moments. You just don't know what went on. You don't understand how long-suffering he was before he did what you read about. See, God is slow to anger with us. And he's slow to anger. That's part of his nature. And he asked us to reflect on that, or reflect that as well. So I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Travis, you want to come? I want to ask you these couple questions. Are you controlling your anger? Or has anger been controlling you? And maybe you've been pretty good at harboring it. But you know on the inside it's eating away at you. Listen, if anger has caused you to act in a manner that is sinful, you need to do two things this morning. Number one, you need to confess it to God, because all sin is against him first and foremost. And then secondly, you need to confess it to that person. You need to let them know, hey, listen, the problem between us really wasn't between us. It's really between me and God. There's been some anger that I have, that I just haven't dealt with. You need to ask God to help you with that today. I ask you to forgive it, forgive you of it first. But then you need to ask him, Lord, help me not to act in what comes natural, but help me to act in what would be pleasing to you, because the anger of man can never achieve the righteousness of God, and we want his righteousness. So if you've done more than just harbor it in your heart, you've acted on it. Listen, today needs to be the day of repentance. That's how all transformation begins with God. It begins with confessing and repenting, turning to him and letting him empower us to live a different life with his help. Or maybe you've just been harboring anger this morning. Maybe you haven't really acted on it in a demonstrative way, in what most would perceive a destructive way. But you know the destruction that's going on in your heart. Listen, why don't you let God heal what's hurting you today? Why don't you let God calm the chaos of anger in your life today? And if that's you, if you've been acting out of anger, or maybe you've just been living in a toxic heart, with a toxic heart because of the anger in you, why don't you right now, either way, why don't you submit that to the Lord? And here's how we're going to do that today. I want to ask you to stand with me all across this room. We're just going to all lift our hands before the Lord. If you're watching today online, why don't you just take this moment as well. Just submit yourself to the Lord. You know, I was told as a young kid that if we lift our hands, because that means surrender, right? And so that's what we're going to do. I want to ask you to lift your hands all across this room. And if you're watching at home, you can do this too. Let's lift our hands today. So, Lord, I surrender my issues with anger to you. So, Lord, do what only you can do. Heal me and help me. Lord, heal me from my past and help me with my present and guide me to my future, because I know my anger does not achieve your righteousness. So, Lord, we surrender to you today. In Jesus' name. Why don't you take the next 20 seconds and you just submit yourselves to the Lord fresh and new. And if you've been battling anger, if it's been getting the best of you, why don't you turn to the one this morning who can help you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, touch us today. Lift us. Help us put our trust in you. Lord, help us depend on you. Give us the power this morning to follow you and act in a way that pleases you. Help us to remember and be convinced and be persuaded and act on the reality that the anger of man never produces the righteousness of God. So, Lord, you produced your righteousness in us and through us today. We'll give you thanks. Lord, I pray this morning for those that may be watching or those in the room today that have never given their life to you. Lord, there's an emptiness that maybe has caused anger inside of them because they're just empty. Lord, there's a God-shaped hole this morning in all of us that you can fill with the love and the purpose and the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful today the word promises that if any of us will confess our sins, Lord, that you will always be faithful to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from them, and give us a right heart. So I pray that today, if there's someone watching online or in the room today that has never made the commitment that I'm going to follow Jesus, Lord, let that decision be made today. Let them begin the greatest walk of life, the walk of knowing and following you. Lord, let that happen today. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray you'll bless the people today. Lord, bless those in the room. Bless those participating online today. Lord, I pray you will bless them. Pray you will keep them. I pray your face will shine upon them and give them peace and joy both now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.